We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The dayspring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Absolutely upon the unction of the Holy Spirit. Come in alignment under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the functional head of this assembly. I hide behind your cross. I come under your authority, and all that will be pressed out of me today will be for your own glory, and that for your people to be edified in Jesus' name. And the people of God says,
amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, good morning. Good evening, rather. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Kachi provenempia hotia folo prachi hatia kesia. Ikisiminia sie, mea sie mea kesia minia parkate. Horgonuam barkatasia. Parkabino, for there is an open heaven, for the heavens are open upon you. The heavens are open upon you. The heavens are open upon you. Even the face is open. Even the face of him, even the face of him is open. Even the face of him is open to beam out lights, to beam out lights, to beam out his knowledge, to beam out his knowledge, to beam out his knowledge, to give his knowledge, to give his light, his precept, even to show you the light, even to show you the light, to show you the light, to show you the light. To show you the light, to cause you to see light, to cause you to see the light of his life. Oh, for there is a communication that will be brought to you even tonight. There is a communication that will be brought to you today. There is a communication that will be brought to you tonight. Even the communication of his knowledge, even the communication of the light of his face, even the communication of the light of his glory, even the communication of the light of his life. For you will see the light. For you will see the light. 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 Oh, upon you tonight is an activity of heaven. Upon you tonight is an activity of heaven for you to see the light, for to open your eyes, for to open your eyes via the spirit of wisdom and revelation. For there is a revelatory spirit. There is a revelatory spirit. There is a higher revelatory spirit for you to see, for you to see that which is hidden, even the life of him who is seated, even the life
life of him who is seated, that life that is hid, but it will press out his light. I will press out the light. Oh, so I say desire. I say expect. I say be expectant. I say position yourself so that you can see. So that you can see. Oh, you shouldn't go back not seeing. You shouldn't go back tonight not seeing. For there is an operation of the heavens upon you tonight. For you all to see. For you all to see. So I will tailor even the message for you. I will tailor the message for you. I will direct my servant even for you. I will give him words. I will give him words. I will give him thoughts. I will give him doors of channels to enter through. For in these channels, oh, you will surely see my light. You will surely see the light of my life. For you see, you have said, what is this life? You have thought, what is this life? But first, get the light. Labor in getting the light. And the light even will surely lead to the life. So I will show you the light tonight. I will show you the light tonight. Is a light night. Is a light night. Is a light night. Is a light night. Oh, for you to see the light. For all of you to see the light. Say the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let's open our Bibles to the first epistle of John. First epistle of John, chapter 3. The first epistle of John, chapter 3. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has at bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. So the world does not know, cannot discern this manner of love that begat sons. Can we say amen? The world knoweth us not, because it knoweth him not. So the world cannot know this kind of Father's love. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Of course, you know, amen. So because we need to be able to divide truth. So there is a kind of love that the Father has bestowed upon us. We'll know who those us are anyway. That the world does not know. Now, the purpose of that love is to begat sons. What did I say is the purpose of that love? So, it is a mannerism of love that is, it has a speciality. So, that's why I know that love has different mannerisms. What did I say love has? There are mannerisms in the order of love. Love has general operations. The love of God is an expression of God's life to us. But when you go deeper, you find out that the mannerisms of love differ based on purpose. The mannerisms of love differ based on purpose. So the love of the Father here is for the purpose of raising sons. Now, it says that we should be called. It means we are not yet that kind of son. So, obviously, this is not the love of John. Can we say amen? This is not John 3:16 love. Because there is a love that God has for us, for all men, for all sinners. Take me to John 3:16. Then we'll see Romans 5. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So for God so loved the world that he gave. So the world here are sinners. So, amen. What did I say the world here?
Sinners.
For God so loved the world, sinners, that he gave what? his only begotten son. So who they really gave was a son that was resurrected into eternal life. It was the gift of God to man. When I say they gave him, it's that everything that man needs is in the only begotten son. Now, for him to be the only begotten son, it means all of the names of God are inside him. Can we all say amen to that? All of what man needs, all the promises of God are in him. All of the benefits of God are in him. All of the gifts are in him. So that is who they gave. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus came for the purpose of redeeming all men. Can we say amen? Amen. And Jesus was given from the bosom of God's love for all men. God loved the world. Can we say amen? Amen. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you can understand that this love is supposed to quicken your spirit for you to come into everlasting life. Can we say amen? Amen. So, you know, so this is the love of God that raised our spirit. The one that God has for all sinners. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So when you look at this scripture very well, should not perish, but have everlasting life. It means that it is in having everlasting life that stops the operation of perishing. Can we say amen? Now look at verse 17 to further illustrate that. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He saved. So, of course, we know that we use salvation at in most times in Christendom, most of the time we talk about salvation, we limit it to the new birth. And of course, it's true, but it's not completely true. The new birth is the beginning of salvation. What did I say the new birth is? Salvation in itself is to make you not perish. In the biblical context of salvation, is to have a life that is not subject to perishing. And that is why Jesus came. Jesus came to give you a life so that you should not perish, but have everlasting life. So having everlasting life is the immunity to perishing. That's what it means. That's the interpretation of what that means. Okay? So when it says it might be saved, we are talking about salvation in the context of the immunity to perishing. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So this is my point. God loved the world. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now look at Romans chapter 5. I want you to understand mannerisms of love and the purpose of the mannerisms of love. Love is an outflow of God's nature. But love has dimensions. That is what I want to say. What did I say love has? There are dimensions to the love of God that we must know, because there is a dimension of God's love that raises sons of God that is not the same dimension that he has for all sinners. It is love, but they differ. The characteristics of love change, differs based on purposes of God. The characteristics of love differs based on purposes of God. So when God wants to raise sons of glory, there is a manner of love that he reveals. But now, this again, just to buttress the fact that all of us, when we got born again, there was a measure of God's love that we enjoyed. If not, you can't get born again. It is more like mercy, you know? You know, love is mercy. What did I say love is? Ephesians chapter 2. While you were dead in what? But you, as he quickened. Take me there. And you as he quickened where you were dead. In what? So this quickening is the raising of your spirit. What did I say this quickening is? It is the beginning of the manifestation of God's love. God has to raise your spirit to begat you to be sons of God. No, there's a level of begatting here. It's what we call the new birth. Everybody knows that. The new birth is the beginning of big, it is a, the birth processes, okay, in the kingdom. So you, as he quickened, they quickened you when you were dead in what? Trespasses and sins. Meaning that you were not worthy in the sense of it. While you were weak and dead in your sins and trespasses, Christ died for you. That's what Romans 5. So this is the love that God has for the whole world. What did I say this love is? So what God commended is love towards us, okay? In that while we were yet sinners, so this is the world, in the sense of sinners or Gentiles that has not received the life of God in their spirit. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can we say amen? So this is the manifestation of the love of God that will quicken the spirit from sins and trespasses and make you a child of God based on the new birth. Can we say amen? Amen. So the new birth is the beginning of sonship. Write that down. Very important. The new birth is the beginning of sonship. The new birth is the beginning of sonship. Now look at Ephesians. Ephesians 2. So when you were dead in sins and trespasses, now look at the next verse, please. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh what? In the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom you all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, even what? I like the word, we're by nature. So meaning that by nature, you were programmed to perish. Or even by nature, you were perishing. So there is perish, perishing, and perisheth. Okay? So you understand? So there is, so the sinful nature is a perishing nature by itself. Okay? But the purpose of the new birth is to arrest the operation of perishing. And to begin a process, a counter process, which is called salvation. Salvation is a counter process to arrest the activity of perishing. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So salvation counters the activity of perishing. That's why salvation is not just an event. Salvation is a program of God to restore man. To come into all that God has ordained. So that's why salvation is also progressive. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So, but God, who is rich in mercy, look at that. For what? His great love, wherein he what? Loved us. So this is still John 3:16. The love of God manifested to us when we're yet sinners and dead in our sins and trespasses. Even when we were, what? Dead in sins. So you can see, referring to the activity of the love of God that reached out to you when you were dead in sins. At what? Quicken us together with Christ. Can we say amen?
Amen.
By grace, what? Ye are saved. So that grace is the allocation available for you to respond to the love of God. So, love is mercy. Grace is what you respond. You know, it is mercy, I've taught you before. From God's point of view, it is the mercy of God. For man's response, man responds to God by grace. God reaches out to man by mercy. Let me say that again. God reaches out to man by mercy. Man responds to God by grace. Through faith. So you need to still believe. So even when God showed his love and made grace available for you, still have to believe for that grace to be activated. Can we say amen? So when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. So you can see. So this is still the manifestation of the love of God reaching out to us as sinners that raised our spirits. So it's love. Can we say amen? Amen. So this is a manner of love. What did I say this is? It's a manner of love that is purposeful to convert sinners into saints. So you can see that the love has purpose. It is set aside to convert a sinner to a saint or to raise your spirit from the dead. And this is the beginning of the manifestation of the love of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So you need to understand this, okay? I think I've laid a good foundation. So let's go back to John 3. 1 John 3. So now, but the love that John is speaking of here is different. It is to make you to be called. You are not even yet called it. Look at it. Behold, what manner of love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, normally, what we normally do in modern Christianity, which is not bad, you know, because it's a faith. So we anything we see in scripture, we claim it, and it's true. But at times not all things work in that manner. There are workings in scripture that we need to understand. Or there are contexts at times that we must understand. So when it says bestowed upon us, John was writing to a specific church at a specific time. So there was what he meant by that love being bestowed upon them. It's not just a general. Now, you can put your own meaning to what love is and say, oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me that I should be called a son. But we need to be able to touch the mind of the apostle when he wrote the scripture. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now, let me give you this as a starter. The love of God, the manner of the Father's love, is revealed based on the quality of light he gives. So what he bestowed upon us is light, which are his gifts. All of the beings in the Godhead, they have their gifts. Holy Ghost has his gifts. Christ has his gifts. You know, we have gifts of the Holy Ghost. According to scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have 9 gifts of the Spirit. They are, and you know, I've taught you before that all gifts are gifts of love. Remember when I was teaching on love, the love series teaching, what did I say gifts are? When they give gifts, it's out of love that they give gifts. Even the gifts of the Spirit, they are gifts of the Holy Ghost. They are gifts of love. Can we say amen? And that's why the best way to use them is in love. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, follow after charity or pursue charity. I like the Amplified Version. He said, pursue charity. Pursue this love with eagerness. Make it your goal. Yet, earnestly desire and cultivate spiritual gifts. So, the best way to use gifts of the Holy Ghost, can we say amen?
Yes.
Is to use it in when you are in love. A soul that is growing in love uses those gifts well, because they have their source in love. All gifts have their source in love. What did I say? And so you saw Paul also talk about the character of charity in 1 Corinthians 13, that when you even have gifts that can, powerful gifts that can move mountains, I have no love. You are nothing. So as far as God is concerned, love is the measurement of profiting in the realm of the Spirit. You profit when you are in love. So when you have gifts without love, you are nothing. Because love is not the motive or the template running that gift. God is not against gifts.
But when love is not the program that runs it, if it's not running on the love nature, then it is nothing. Because everything that comes out of God is energized by love. What did I say? Or we can say love is the source of all things. Everything that comes out of God is sourced in love. It is sourced in love. So the best way to use gifts of the Spirit is in love. So what am I trying to say? All gifts are gifts of love. So gift of the Holy Ghost, the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost that we know, they are all gifts of love. Then when you move into Christ, the 5-fold gifts are gifts of love. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. They are all gifts also. And they all come out of the love of God in Christ. They are gifts of Christ to the church. So they are also love. And that's why when you eat this gift, you can't receive life from God. This is very important I say this. You see, you will be limited if you don't receive gifts of Christ. Of course, you will be limited if you don't receive gifts of the Holy Ghost. Because they are gifts. And they are, you benefit, you are supposed to benefit from them. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you'll be limited greatly as a Christian. Because the gift of the Holy Ghost is what triggers other gifts. You know, some people believe in the Holy Ghost, but they don't believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost or the manifestation of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Meanwhile, that tongues thing is the door to other gifts. So when you don't love that tongue, the gift of tongues, you will not be in love with other gifts. Can we say amen? Amen? You know, of course, you know we are supposed to love the gifts of the Spirit. We should love them because they are given out of love. We should honor them. I don't know if I'm getting your attention. You know, we are not supposed to move from, you know, we have climbs in people that they talk against gifts. Gifts are beautiful. They are blessings. They are given for us to profit withal. So they are for profiting, but they have to flow out of love. So same thing with the gifts of Christ. If you reject the gift of Christ, you have rejected the love of Christ. Yes. You can't say, for instance, you reject a gift of a pastor and you say you love Christ. Christ sent that gift to you. So if you reject that gift, you reject Christ. So we need to understand these things. Jesus said in Matthew 10, he says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. That's the order. So if you don't receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you reject the prophet's reward. So what is the prophet's reward? The prophet is a gift of light. Nobody say amen.
Amen.
What do I say the prophet is? It's a gift of light. It's a gift of life. It's a gift of love. So if you reject that prophet that has been sent to you, you reject the life, the light and the life that is brought to you. It's a simple thing. So you reject the love of Christ. When you reject a gift, you have rejected the love of Christ. Particularly if it is one that is sent to you. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So 5-fold gifts, they are also gifts of love. Are you following me? Now, the Father has his own gifts and they are lights. What did I say are the gifts of the Father?
Yes.
So you can see what gift is different in each dimension. Gift of the Holy Ghost, gift of Christ, gifts of the Father. So the Father's gift. So the Father bestows love upon you when he's giving you his light. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Now, amen. Can we say the Father's light?
Father's light.
Say that again, no?
Father's light.
Now, when the Father loved all of us as sinners and made us get born again by believing in his Son, or gave us a Son, and we became his children by believing in his Son, we did not believe his light. Amen. What did I say we did not believe? So that level of love that every sinner accepts does not involve what you call his light. His light. So the Father can love you and not give you his light. Not because he doesn't love you, but there are characteristics or mannerisms that brings out his light. Can we say amen? It's not everybody that he will give his light to, because it's a gift. Hallelujah. What did I say it is? And there is a criteria for that gift to be revealed to you. So actually, we must understand the heart of the Father. You have to, there is a positioning that you come into that attracts that, that attracts that favor from the Father. So the Father's love is manifested by the giving of the Father's light. The Father's love is manifested by the giving of the Father's light. Why does the Father want to give his light? It's because the Father wants to give his life. The life of the Father is begotten in us through his light. So light begats life. It's also the same thing, vice versa. As light is the manifestation of life, actually. Anywhere there is light, there is life. Light shows us that there is life. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. So when they say light of men in this context, it's the school of men. It's the education of men. So to get life, you go to the school of light. Can we say amen? What did I say? So according to John 1, what is domiciled in the word is life. In him was life. And the life that was in him was the education of man. This is the first school of man. And you know, amen. Now, I believe in education. I have no problem with school. I went to school. My children are going to school. I encourage school. But if you have, don't have the opportunity to go to the schools of this earth. Not everybody will have opportunity to go to the schools of this world. Please attend this one. Because this is God's original school. All the other ones, men made them. I'm not saying they are bad. They have their purpose. Basically, every learning you have dies here. You use it here and it's good. It's advantage for you. So I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm only saying that whatever you learn from school, you can only use it here. It can't go beyond this dispensation. So it's good. But I'm telling you that there is a school of all schools that gives you a conversation of the life of now and beyond now. So naturally, though, church should be the citadel of learning or the school of God. It's now sad that churches don't teach God. They teach the light of this world. So when you now have a place where the light of God is being taught, people even don't even, they even despise it. It rather looks foolish. You can say they are not balanced. When they are teaching you to know God. But the context of not being balanced, in most cases, is even a false sense of balance. is because it's not addressing needs. If anybody says no teaching is balanced, the problem is they are just saying that you people are only focused on talking on God. You are not addressing my problem. Can we say amen? But there is a way to really address the problem of man. Addressing the problem of man is to make him focus on God. That is the best way to help man. Now, the issue is that I'm not against you meeting the needs of man. The only problem with that is that man knows how to get from God and leave God alone. And that's who man is. So man gets what he gets, what he needs to get from God. And after he has gotten it, he forgets God. We are all like that. We are programmed like that. And that's why at times God permits us to go through problems. And that's the only way you can actually consistently seek him. God kept telling the children of Israel, most of the time the children of Israel left God. It was when they were prosperous. Go and study your Bible very well. All the time that they rebelled and went into idolatry. I mean, have you ever thought about it that why would the children of Israel be going for idolatry? For why? Why did they love idols? When you read the Bible, because when you read all the prophets were addressing the issues concerning idol. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them, issue of idols, backsliding Israel. How can God love you so much and has given you everything and then you are always backsliding? Have you ever thought about that? Just think about it. Just meditate on that. It's just the fallen nature of man. So God will allow them to suffer. And after they suffer, they will now remember God and be crying again. Then God will send another deliverer. God, I'm sorry. I'll not do it again. Then God will now send help again. And then they now begin to recover. And things are blossoming again. And then when things are blossoming again, you just forget God again, as usual. Then God will send, that's what you saw now. God, Assyrians. After Assyrians, Babylonians. After Babylonians, Persians. In the time of Job, they were called the Sabaeans. There were always some kind of people that troubled the people of God. I'm just giving you an understanding. I want you to understand. So, the school that God designed for all men is the school of light. What is the light? The light in God. Now, when I mean God, the everlasting God. Because men there are, they are beings in creation. And as long as we are beings in creation, who we can know is the everlasting God. So the light of men is the light of the everlasting God. Can we all say that? Let's say that again. Or we can say the light of men is the light of the Father. Is the light of the Father. So it is the highest calling for man, or the calling of man to know that light for the purpose of getting the life. I want this teaching to sink very well. Can we say amen? Amen. Are we all here? So take me back to James. James 1. So you can see. So every good and what? Every good and every perfect gift. So they're actually in categories anyway. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Above here is not talking about heaven. It's just talking about it is an heavenly gift, being that it's separated from men. Can we say amen? And comment down from who? The Father of lights. Can we all see that? From what? The Father of lights. Can we say Father of lights? Father of lights. Let's say that again. Father of lights. Let's say that one more time. So what the Father has in his name are gifts of light. That is his gift. That is his real gift. Now, that gift was not activated when you got born again. From the Father to you. There was no giving of his light because it was not necessary. His new birth. You don't give understanding to a baby. Oh, yeah. So, the faculties that can engage light is not yet awoken in a baby. So, the baby has to go through growth processes for him to now come to a season where he can now begin to learn the light of the Father. Can we say amen? I'm sure that is understood, rather. So, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no what? Variableness. So, that's the characteristics of the light. The nature of that light is that it's not a light that varies. So, meaning that there are lights that varies. Can we say amen? What did I say they are? Or their life that varies. If they are lights that varies, their life that varies. Meaning they are transient. They are not unchangeable. This is I want to say something very technical. I'm not even talking about life of this world. There are things that God can give you as light that is still variable. It is from God, but it's not of God. So God, there are things that come from him that you can use. Can we say amen? But it cannot produce a nature of life in you that does not vary. I believe there are many things that a lot of people receive inspiration from God. Even things that we use here in creation. Do you think it's devil that gave inspiration for car? Come on, think about it. You know, there's a way who told you it's Satan? Satan got nothing, man. He got nothing. If you know that being, he's a 419er. He got nothing. Okay, who put metals inside the soil? Why did he put it there? You think he would not know that sometimes it would be needed? It was for use now. Have you ever discovered that even when we look at it from science, every scientific law that was discovered, it was there before? Newton's three laws of motion. Who put it there? You think God is daft, Abby? There's a way some people look at Christianity like, oh, the Lord, or the anyone. You don't know anything. You don't know who your God is. Look at the precision behind creation. Can a weak mind do something like that? Can you beat even the robot Elon Musk has done? Can you compare it to a man? In terms of life, the way those robots were walking is as if they had kwashoko. You can't put breath inside a robot. Even not if very. They try, I don't say they don't try, but nobody if it creates like our papa. So everything you discover, every laws, particularly laws, biology, biophysics, like law of gravity, laws of motion, they were there before. We only discovered it. Who put it there? It was God. There are laws that are part of creation. Why has the earth not left its orbit? Over 7,000 years. Over 7,000. It's a law that is holding it. So I'm even saying that there are lights even within the realm of creation. Lower different kind of lights. Lights responsible for creating things here on the earth. God gives those lights. God even gives the wisdom to sustain the earth. It's not Satan that gave the wisdom to sustain people's health, to help save life. Satan does not want to save life. Left for Satan, everybody should die. They are very bad. So God knew that man will fail. He now put leaves there as what medicine for man. He did it even before man fell. What kind of God is that? Eh? That he has made provision for your disobedience. I'm showing you how intelligent your father is. Now, all those things that he's doing is a product of light. And they have their own life, but they vary. So God has life, different categories of life in him. It's not all of those life that has the mannerism of not varying, nor have the shadow of what? Turning. I don't know if we are saying amen together. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, let me say this, and this it gets more technical now. Even the new birth, as beautiful as it is, it does not fit this description. This is what new creation reality people don't understand. They don't understand the vastness of God. They can't comprehend it. So that's why they say, once I'm saved, it's a forever thing. Because they don't understand what salvation is. So they are finding it difficult to grasp their mind on that. So another school of thought is that, okay, I have eternal life. But, you know, I can still, you know, but my soul now needs to be saved, you know. You find out that there's a lot of doctrinal gap. So it takes mercy to see all the lines. Can we say amen? Because the idea is that when you get born again, your spirit is quickened with life. Eh? And your soul now needs to begin to grow. To begin to receive understanding of life at different allocations of life. So like I've taught you and we are teaching again, all the names of the Godhead, the name of the Holy Ghost is an allocation of life. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. The name of Christ is another allocation of life. Then there's the name of the Father, which caps the receiving of life from God. So, as powerful as the new birth is, can we say amen? You can still turn from it. I don't know if you are getting me. Can we say amen? Amen? So it does not fit this description. Even though it's an expression of the love of God, but it does not fit this description as a good and perfect gift. Can we say amen? Amen. I'm not saying that the new birth is not good. I hope you are not misunderstanding me. I'm only saying that this description of gift in the Father is a precise character in the Father. It describes his nature and what he wants to do inside his sons. So, if the Father's light does not make you vary, does not make you turn, it means we can say that the Father's what? Life is a life that does not vary and a life that does not have what? Shadow of turning. So, his life does not cast shadows. His life is not type and shadow. Amen. It is not a life that can turn. And that is the gift that he has. Can we say amen? I think we have taken a lot of time here, but it's good. Can we say amen? Amen. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. So what is the love? So behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called. It means we are not yet called. So, he is giving the light for the purpose of us being called. Everybody say called. Called. Whatever I call you, is it not your name? So it means that the purpose of the Father's love is to give you his name. Or his seal. That we should be called. Can I just call you? How can I call you without knowing your name? Yes. Calling means you have a name. Or calling is the answering to a name. You answer to a name. It's a calling. That we should be called. So the calling of the sons of God is for them to bear the name of the Father. Write that down. The calling of the sons of God is to bear the name of the Father. And you did not answer that call at new birth. It is the beginning of a journey to answer the call. They must prepare you to bear this name of the Father. Can we say amen? Amen? Bear in mind that the name of the Father, name represents nature. Or character or identity. So the Father's name is the Father's nature. The Father's name is the Father's identity. The Father's name is the Father's character. So naming is giving you his nature. Sealing is giving you his nature. Can we say amen?
Amen?
You know, we are still on this one verse. You don't rush these verses. And you have to have faith in these things. So what? Behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Now, look at it again. Therefore, the world does not know us. Because what? So the world does not know this kind of love that puts the seal of the Father upon us. Oh, you didn't hear that. The love that causes a man to bear the nature of God that does not vary or turn, the world does not know it. The world cannot even know it. Can we say amen? I cannot say, I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Now, let me take it further. Knowing means that the world cannot experience that one. It is exclusive. It's reserved. You will have to journey to get this one. Now, let me now add to this. This love of the Father is the pleasure of the Father. So God can love. God can love you and is not pleased with you. The pleasure of God's love is when he is giving you his name. When you can be. So pleasure. And you can only please him when you are learning, you are being trained by him. So I can love a son and not be pleased with him. I will keep loving my children, irrespective of what they do, because it's my nature to love. But I will not be pleased with them until they learn my life. So the Father's love is the Father's pleasure. And you begin to pull that pleasure when you learn Christ. Now, the learning of the name of the Son is what begins to give signal to the Father that you are ready for his love. That love that makes you bear his nature. When you learn the Son, which is the name that is in the Son, Christ, you are telling the Father that I am ready to do your pleasure. Or I am ready for your own kind of love. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I'm sure this is very simple enough. So you can see. So you move. So what attracts this manner of love from the Father are those that have submitted themselves to loving the life in the Son. So someone that rejects the life in the Son cannot attract this love. It is a proof. So that means that God tests us. Say, no, don't tell me that. God loves you no matter what I do. No matter what I do. God loved me the way I am. Leave me the way I am. God even loved me the way I am. Shut up. God loves you the way you are, but he will never leave you the way you are. That's it. I'm telling you, modernized Christianity. We want to come to church and love everything we once loved. That we don't want to leave anything behind. All the disco, all the pleasures of life. This Christianity pill, I don't want to lose anything now. Jesus loves me. And I'm not going to go to hell. I will make heaven eventually. And I will even make this world.
This is a good bargain. So I don't have to leave those things. Eh? I don't have to stop lying. Some people don't believe that. They lie per second and they are speaking in tongues. Parakoshta, prekatopa, pristakaka, froshtabaya. Now, Christianity does not touch lie. Their own version of Christianity. Christianity touches every area of your life, including your dressing. There's a kind of dressing you not dress. You not wear the attire of an alot and be blasting tongues. I say, it doesn't matter what I wear. The Holy Ghost is in my heart. No, you don't live anyhow. Hallelujah. I'm not saying yeah in your amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, take me to John 14. Let's look at it again. So, the Father's love is the Father's pleasure. And you can't begin to do His pleasure until you submit to the life in the Son. So, the life in the Son is a prerequisite for the Father's love. Write it down. The life in the Son. When I mean Son, Christ. The life in the name of the Son is a prerequisite for the Father's love. And I'm going to prove that to you in a moment. So he that hath my commandments and what? Okay, let's start from verse 1. This is a very interesting scripture. Let me just touch a few verses there. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe, ye believe in God, believe also in me. So I believe that you can't even believe in God without believing in him. That's why they sent him. Jesus is the mediator between what? If you didn't need a mediator, they won't send him. If not for Jesus Christ, nobody can come to God. So you believe in God, but you believe in him. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth. And what? I am the way. I'm truth. I am life. I am way, I am truth, I am life. No man cometh unto. So everybody should be coming to the Father. So when you got born again, you had not come to the Father. Even though you are his child, but you have not come. Now, to come to me, you can be in my home, but you have not come to me. To come to me is to adopt my way of life as yours. To come to me is to adopt my life, my way of life as yours. So as long as we have not adopted the Father's life as our life, we have not come to him, even though we are his children. And he understands that he loves us. But we begin to please him when we begin to live out his life as our own life. And that is the purpose of Jesus coming, is to teach his Father's life. Because Jesus himself lived the Father's life. That's how he pleased the Father, by living his life on the earth. So the highest thing you can do to please God is to live out the life of the Father on the earth. Because that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to please the Father. My food. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is not ministry will. My meat is to do the will. So Jesus was a will doer. More than a ministry man. May God give us understanding.
Amen.
Jesus was a will doer. More than a ministry man. Acts chapter 1 verse 2. Of all things that Jesus began to do and to teach. So Jesus was an intentional doer. Because life is about doing God's will. So everybody should know that. The highest thing that you can become is to be a doer of his will. A lot of people put ministry before, you put the cart before the horse. A lot of people, ministry is a big thing to them. You cannot go far with God if you have ministry hangover. I can tell you that. If you love ministry more than loving life, you can't please God. You cannot please God. And you have to see the emptiness in ministry. You have to see the emptiness. What I mean the emptiness side of ministry. You have to be separated from ministry. so that you will not miss the real ministry. The real ministry is to do his will. You know, God helps ministers to do his work. So, you, as a minister of the gospel, you need to be wise. That your walk with God is your greatest investment in the body. Your walk with God is the greatest investment. Nothing should make you lose sight of it. There must be nothing that can happen that can separate you from the love of God. Including if your ministry crashed down. Well, those are things that can move a minister. You know, you start something, the thing spoiled. Satan is crafting the work of ministry. It's not good. I'm not saying it's good. But that is not enough to separate you from the love of God. Jesus must be much more to you than ministry. Jesus must be much more to you than wife, children. So that your heart will not fail. Your calling is to do his will. You're supposed to please him here. That is how you should meet him. You should be a full will doer. And we saw that that's what Jesus was committed to. Jesus says, see, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His work. So we know that the work, his work here is more than work of ministry. It's the work of the Father. Can we say amen? Amen. So the Father's life should be your own work. The Father's life should be your own work. It should be what you should walk in till you now inherit it. Everybody should meet the Father as a father. Who is a son? Because some of you think son. In your mind, a son is not inferior to the father. The concept of son in the Hebrew, Ben. So that's why, amen. When Jesus called himself the son of God, the Pharisees were angry. You so I wonder why I say he's son of God. How can you say? Why are you saying you are the son of God? I think that should not annoy somebody. Because the idea of sonship in traditional society is very weak. So, but for the Jews, a son is equal to the father. And the son is everything that the father is. So if you say you are son of God, it means you are God. That's how they saw it. So they got offended. What are you saying? We know you now. Josie, I'm a carpenter. We know you now. So how can you tell me that you are the son of God? We know your real parents. Are you not Joseph's son? Is Mary not your mother? And we even know the brethren is Josie, Joseph's, James. I'm a brain here now. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, Joseph, Simon. So Jesus had about four brothers, and then he had sisters, at least two. So there were, Jesus had, apart from Jesus, they had about six people. And his sister, so there were more than one. Are they not all with us? So when you say you are a son, it means you are a father. Come on. I need your attention. When you say you are a son of somebody, it means you are also who? A father. A son of the father is a father in the son. A son of the father is a father in the son. So every man should meet the father as a father. Because the covenant of God that makes him dwell with men forever is a covenant he has only with fathers. You must be a father to have an everlasting covenant. But the everlasting covenant is a covenant of fathers. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory to God. So you can see, I've showed you that. So, amen. In my father's house. Amen. I think that we should name our building the father's house. Just call it the father. How many of you like the Father's house? She has called it the Father's house. We need to get that out. That's a serious thing. Who is going to give us that? It is the Father's land. It's his Father's house you built on Baba's land.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not a coincidence that it is at this time you got a land. It's not a coincidence that it is in the season of the Father's light that you got that land. Oh, open your eyes in the spirit. For there is also a land to be taken. There is a land to be taken where you will also inhabit, where you will build houses, you will build houses, and those houses are representation of men that will become fathers. For truly, I purchased the land. Oh, yes, surely I will also build it.
Yes.
Surely I will also build it. Surely I will also build it. Surely I will also build it. Not by your strength.
Yes.
Not by your purse.
Yes.
But by my might.
Yes.
Oh, I will show my everlastingness. I will show my everlastingness. I will show my everlastingness. Even in that project, you will see me. You will learn me. I will show me to you. For you see, it's a project for you to read me. I mean, Marco, a minimum Marco, Marco, my dear coin, Marco, you know. For the house has got into a season where I need many fathers. Even this house has come to a season where I need many, many fathers. Surely, those that should inhabit that house that you will have, even as a congregate, should be fathers. It should be, you should be fathers. Entering that land, entering that place, entering that building, congregating in that building, oh, should be congregation of fathers. For when you move there, oh, no longer will you be church at some realms, but you will become a church of fathers. Oh, a lump sum of you will become fathers. For this purpose, I am also bringing even this burden, because I want to show you how you need to race in taking that mark. For I want many of you to become fathers. I desire fathers in this house. Men who will stand as kings, men who will stand as trees, men who will be shades even for others, men who will be shades for others. I want men, I want women that are fathers, saith the Lord.
Can we all say amen? Do we receive that prophecy? Honestly, it's God. Nobody planned that. That just came from the Spirit. That's just God's intentionality. You know, the natural should speak of the Spit. So if God is saying he will build a physical house and we'll call it the Father's house, God is telling us that we should become his house. So that means that that building should be a prophecy. It should be a prophecy of what we should become. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And I believe God will build it. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
God is going to build it. So in my Father's house, Kai, are many mansions, many mansu, or dwelling places. So that's the purpose of the Father's house. It's for dwelling. Eh? So many mansions means many dwelling places. If it were not so, I've told you, I go prepare a place for you. I will still come back and dwell here. And if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So take me now to verse 20. Let's fall back down a little bit to verse 20. Amen. Thank you. Start from verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am what? So they will come into an expression knowledge. And I, and ye in me, and I in you. So Jesus was prophesying concerning the full dwelling of the full raising of the tabernacle of God. This is actually Revelations 21 and 22 in its full sense. In that day, there will be a day that will come into fullness of God's life. That day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. This was the prayer he prayed in John 17. Can we say amen? Which is the ultimate calling of the church. The ultimate calling of the church is to dwell in God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
God in us, man in God, God in man. That you all may be one, as thou, Father, are in me. So when Jesus was talking, the Father was in him. In fact, Jesus said in verse 4 of that verse, I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. So what made the Father dwell in Jesus was the work of the Father. So what was dwelling in Jesus? So when Jesus said you were dwelling in me, now, you know the Father was not physically living in him. Are you with me? What did I say? The Father was in heaven. He just himself prayed, our Father who art in heaven. Shall you understand? So the Father physically was domiciled in heaven, but the Father was in him. How? If the Father's work is worked in you, the Father's work is the giving of his life. What did I say? So, if Jesus was fully downloaded the work of the Father in him, it means that Jesus received the Father fully in the flesh. And that is what every man should receive. That is why you are on earth. It's not to do any other thing. It's to receive the work of the Father, or for the work of the Father to be fully done in you. Nobody saying amen to that. Hallelujah. So, and that is how you glorify God on earth. See, you need to get this and let it sink in well. There's no other way that you glorify God. I'm always saying, at times I know I sound tough. When I see, I talk like if you don't have some things, you know, you should not let it deter you from seeking God. Yo, Dadju, I'm just showing you God's nature. Many of us still feel when we don't have certain things that God is not good to us. You have to change your mindset. Your God is not a bad God. God is a just God. You know, I streamed this afternoon. Joiner, Baba was teaching. You know, they're having a conference and I just streamed about maybe 20, 30 minutes. And he was just saying exactly what we were teaching. I was so excited. He said, you know, Joiner, I just him. I said, the spirit is one. Baba said that God blesses many things he does not inhabit. And the highest thing God can do in the highest trust of ministry is the formation of the image of God in man. Say he has problem with many people that call themselves apostles. I'm telling you. I wish I could just take the message and come and play it for you. He said the calling of apostolic ministry is to travail and bat Christ inside men. He said, if that is not, he said, it's not apostolic. He called it. He said, I criticize it. I said, so I'm even myself. You know, I still spoke 2 days ago about it. I was so excited. Can we say amen? Glory to God. So your walk on earth is to glorify the Father. What did I say? Say that one more time. This is the Isheoluwa. This is the real Isheoluwa. It's for you to have his image inside you. Now, every other thing, Lebaje, Ele, Olebaje, Ishe Aidibaje, Aye Aidibaje, is a life that does not baje. So, and that is the your walk on earth, is to possess this life that does not spoil. Nobody say amen.
Amen.
So the last season Jesus was on the earth, he was talking to his father. He said, I've glorified you on earth. That's how you bring glory. Another word for glory is that I have pleased you. So this is the only thing that can please the Father. We thank God for all he does for us, honestly. It's not like we don't celebrate good things. I quickly try to forget things. I try to forget things. I've forgotten that we bought land since. And I will still forget that we'll build it because we are going to build it. And it's just for purpose of equipping. I quickly forget things. I put things aside. I know the greatest thing is to come here. I found out that there's really no pleasure in anything. There's just transient pleasure. If I have a new house, I'll thank God for the house. But I know that the joy is not it's not my joy. It's just a good joy. Okay, thank God we have a house. But I can't dwell there. I can't stay there. That is not my joy. My joy is not to have a physical house, even though I will have it. Eh? My joy is to come here. My joy is to be the Father's house. Oh, nobody say amen.
Amen.
You should be thinking this way. And you are not too young to think this way. Don't say, no. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Okay, let's have that. It's not my meeting. It's the Lord that is speaking.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let this become your desire.
Amen.
Let it become your desire.
Amen.
Let it become your true desire.
Amen.
Let it become your true desire. Let it become your true pursuit. Let it become your thoughts. Let it become what you fantasize. Oh, fantasize to bear my name. Fantasize to have my seal.
Amen.
Let it become your ambition. This is ought to be your ambition. This ought to be what drives you. This ought to be what drives you. Oh, this is the holy ambition. This is the only ambition that is holy. This is the only ambition that is holy. This is the only ambition that is accepted by me. This is the only ambition I want the man to have. This is why man was created.
Yes,
this is why man was created.
Hallelujah.
This is the reason why you were formed.
Ah.
This is the reason why the earth was made and you put here. So that you will come up and bear my name.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the reason. This is the reason for creation. This is the reason for angels. This is the reason for men. This is the reason for everything. This is the reason. Oh, this is what pulls us. This is what moved us to create. This is what moved us to come about everything you can see. So if you are not going after this, you are wrong. If you are not going after this, you have missed it. If you are not going after this, you have been distracted. If you are not going after this, oh, you will regret it. You will regret it. I want to set your passion aright. I want to set your pursuit aright. I want to set your gaze aright. Don't be distracted. Many things will still come your way. Oh, many things will still come your way. Oh, yet I will yet even bless you. Oh, but don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. I will yet even open resources for you. But don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Be wise enough to use the blessings for this cause of bearing my name. Be wise enough to use that advantage for this cause of coming into my nature. Be wise enough to use that money for the cause of coming into bearing the seal, even of the Father. Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. And don't allow them to distract you. Be wise so that you can fulfill your calling, which is to come into the nature of the Father. See you, the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Habitation. Habitation.
Yes.
Habitation. A place of abode. A place of abode.
Yeah.
A place of abode. A people that will inhabit us. A people that will inhabit us. A people that we can dwell in their midst. A people that we can dwell in their midst. Oh, that has been our ancient desires. That have been our ancient desires. That have been our ancient desire. Oh, a building that we can dwell in. 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 Oh, didn't you hear my son when he says, oh, I do not even have a place to lay my head. Even my father do not have a place. We are looking for a place. We are looking for a place. We are looking for a place. Oh, we're looking for a place. Can you make us, can you give us a place? We are looking for a place. We are looking for a building. We are looking for a habitation. The enemy does not want me to rest. He does not want me to rest. He does not want me to rest. He does not want me to have a home. He does not want me to have a place of abode. I need a place of abode. Oh, I'm looking at your generation and I ask myself, oh, would that give me a place of abode? I've been looking for a place of abode. That is why I like David. That is why I like David. That is why I like David. Oh, this burden in my heart was his own burden as well. Oh, can you have this burden alongside with me? I want a place of abode. Anytime I look at the earth, I'm looking for a place of abode. Anytime I look at the earth, I'm looking for a place to inhabit. I want to inhabit man. I want to inhabit man. I want to inhabit man, and I'm considering your generation. Oh, can you become a house for me? Can you become that house I will dwell in? I won't become that house I will dwell in. That's my desire. That's my desire. Amen. That's what you can align to give me the utmost pleasure that I've been looking for. Amen. See you, the Lord.
Can we all say amen? So let's go to chapter verse 22 of John 14. So we can see it's clear that the ultimate cry that Jesus uttered to the Father while he was in the flesh was that we all become one in them. So that is the fulfillment of the Father's dream that man becomes his dwelling place. Can we say amen? Oh, I can't hear your amen. The fulfillment of the Father's dream is that we become what? His place of dwelling. Revelation 21 verse 2. Now the tabernacle of God is with man. So that was what Jesus was praying for. Now look at verse 21. He that had my commandments. Amen. I don't want to lose. There's a direction we're going. So he that had my commandments and kept them. It is he that loves me. Can we say amen? Amen? So how do you show that you love Jesus? Nobody is talking to me back. So it means that the first proof that you love him is to even know what his commandments are. You see, somebody that does not take words serious does not love God. Let me say that again, because I want you to seek him. Because many of us see loving God as an emotional thing. Some of us, our definition of loving God is on our own terms. I already know how to love God in my mind. But Jesus is defining how you love him. He said, he that has my commandments. So the first thing is that you must have the knowledge that gives you the commandments. So seeking for knowledge is actually love. You are seeking knowledge for the purpose of commandments. So I love the people that don't like, if you don't like knowledge, you can't love, you can't, there's no way. You can't, how do you now know the commandments? And how will you show that you love them? So a lot of people's definition of love is their own righteousness. I at least I'm doing my own. I pay my tithe and I come to unit meeting. And at least I make church once in a week. And I'm trying this, I've increased it to two. You know, all of us have, there's a sense that you can have that you love God. Amen. You can even be coming every day with the wrong motive. And you may not be loving God. Maybe you have a plan. You know, it's only God that knows our hearts. Hallelujah. Oh, the soul of man, very deep. Not like I'm suspecting anybody. I don't suspect people. I don't suspect people. I don't make that a problem. My heart is very free and very light. As far as possible, even though I bear people's burden, but I also remember I remind myself that the Lord is the chief shepherd. So I always cast my burdens upon him so that I will not be overweight. What I'm only trying to say is that you cannot love him without his commandments. What did I say? So he that have my commandments and what? Keep it. At least you must have it before you keep it. It is he that what? It is that loveth me. Look at that. It is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be what? So you can see the Father's love is futuristic. To a soul that is loving Christ and keeping the commandment of Christ shall be loved. Shall be loved. Can we all say that? So, he that loveth me shall be loved. So, the Father's love here, you can see that this one is the prerequisite. It's not John 3:16. John 3:16, Romans chapter 5 on, when you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God commended his love towards us. So that love is a love for all unbelievers. But this one is different. You have to keep commandments to prove that you love the Son and to now be, to awaken the Father's love. So it's as if we have to awaken the Father's love. Can we say amen? Oh, nobody is saying amen with me. I'm sure you can see this. So he that has my commandments and keepeth them is the one that loves me. So if I have the commandment and I don't keep it, what does it mean? No, nobody's answering me now. It's a simple. I love John. I love the epistles of John. John's lines are always clear. His lines are clear. So he that has my commandment and keepeth them is the one that loves me. He that has my commandment, and does not keep them, he does not love me. He that does not even have my commandment at all is he far away from love. Cannot even love me. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. You see why the reason why you have to pray for understanding. Some people are just comfortable with, I don't understand the preacher and they go. What kind of person are you? You say, I don't understand the go hear me. I remember there was one preacher then when we were in when we just entered university. He was a Trinidadian minister. Then he was like, he will preach and we will not understand. We will stay on the tape. You know, those days are days of cassettes. I can't remember. I listened to one message till I could preach it line for line. That's how we listen. I'll not understand what. In fact, the way we learn, those say we learn, even songs. Today I was playing Darlene Zek, year 2000. I was singing every line. I can remember it is here. Chris Delvan Gwamna is here. Some of his songs, his old songs. Day of his power. Until Shiloh comes. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Come praise him for his goodness. He has kept his praise away. How will you forget those kind of songs? Because the heart loves God. When the heart loves God, it doesn't forget. When you forget things of God, you don't love him. How can you be forgetting? It means your heart is somewhere else. You forget things of God. So I don't forget things of God easily. It's other things I forget. I can forget some things, but not things of God. And when I forget things of God and God reminds me, I feel so bad. So he that loveth me shall be loved, you can see, by my Father. And I will love him. I will love him. Now, this is not the Father's love. This is the love of Christ. Can we say amen? Or this is the love of the Son that is Christ. Because you have the Son that is the Son of the living God. So this is Christ. He that loved, I will love him and will want and will manifest myself to him. Everybody say manifest. Say it one more time. This is not manifestation in vision. This is commitment. Write that down. Manifestation here is commitment. I will commit myself to him. Meaning he will not have me. So to manifest myself to him is that he will know me. He will know me not as a knowledge. He will know me by experience. So he will know me. So this person will carry a walking knowledge of the Son. That is the name of Christ. So the manifestation of Christ to you in is love. Because love is the greatest. Love is always the greatest. For there remaineth three. Abide there three. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest. Love is always the greatest of every of the elements of God's life. Let me say that again. Love is always the greatest of the early all the elements of God's life. So, for Christ to manifest himself to you, it means you have come into his love. Can we say amen? So that is why I said it is commitment. What did I say it is? It is commitment. I will commit myself to you. How many of you want the Lord to commit himself to you? Another word for commitment is covenant. It's called covenant with you. So this soul will come into the covenant of peace. That is in Christ. I will love him and what? Will manifest myself to him. Meaning I'll cut covenant with him and then they will know me. So because without covenant, you don't know God. I say God is opening our eyes. Amen. This knowing God thing that we have is we have to teach knowing God to the church. The church doesn't know how to know God. As I said, the church does not really know how to know God. We have many ways to know God. I'm praying for more ministers that will teach how to know him. Your amen is standing on one leg. This is an important thing to my heart. We need many ministers that can teach how to know God. You can make the church anything but not knowing to know God. You can make the church a prayer machine. And believers will be praying. But they don't know God. That one is not good now. Man, guys are sweating. Almost breaking their neck. I'm concerned. Yes, there was a time David Egwuili addressed that thing. I thank God because he said, Father, at least He has a lot of influence. We need people like that to correct. I've been looking at that. What is this thing? That's like, you know, you can divert energy to another thing. Yes, and zeal without knowledge. I know that thing because I've been I've been younger than this before. You will do some things, but it's not going to get you anywhere. God is going to open out to know him to us. We need to learn to know God. I'm not against prayer, you know that. I'm just concerned that the focus of prayer should be to know God. What did I say? Prayer is not exercise. You can go and do exercise. You say, no, me, I combine exercise and prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer is about knowing God. Oh, my God. God will show us mercy. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. You need teaching priests. If there's any, you have to pray. This should be part of your personal, God should raise many, many teaching priests in the church. For a long season, Israel has been without the true God. You know this scripture is very technical. There was a God, but it was not the true God. They didn't say Israel has not been without God. It's a very technical, because you need to read Chronicles to know what they are saying. So God, there is a Israel has been with for a long season. The true God was not showing. But there was a kind of God that was on the scene. Why would Paul say another Jesus? If there's no another Jesus. So there's another Jesus. If there's another gospel. Paul says, if I, an angel, preach to you another gospel. It means there's another gospel. So another gospel will paint another what? Another God. But it's not the true God. This is the Ikontuman Bamileru Lelesa. A God that is not the true God engaging the church. Very terrible. Yes. That's why Paul was concerned. Now, those were the wars of Paul. They are what I call apostolic warfare. Paul even put himself on that curse. If they say, even high and an angel, if he preached another gospel, let it be a curse. I say again. Did he pain Paul? Because those guys were spoiling what he did. After Paul had taught them how to the way of liberty, some other guys came and spoiled all the work. They were polluting the work. Paul had to write this epistle. It was a correctional epistle. And it was warfare. So, the Lord told me, said in recent, because I know, you know, I've gone through a lot of seasons in my life as a Christian. Every time, you know, I've gone from a gentle Christian to a radical one, confrontational one. Then the one that heaven had broken, that was just walking. I don't want to, let me just be serving God on one corner. I don't want to be seen. And then, you know, in recent times, God is now stirring up a jealousy. Because I don't keep quiet anymore. I say, God, I don't want, let me just face my work. God says, no, don't just face my work. They said, there are things I want you to correct. That one, I don't like that one, because personally, I just want to face my business. So I think it's a holy jealousy. Because a lot of believers are under bondage. A lot. It's very painful. So you need teaching priests and the law for you to know the true God. What is the law? Commandments. A revelation into the will and the mind of God. Can we say amen? So we need more teaching priests in the church. That's my joy. Anyone I see a teaching priest of this order, I pray for them, even if they are not people that I've known before. I say, God, help me keep this minister. Because we need many in the church like that. We have to run Satan out of business. Nobody's saying amen. Run Satan out of business. Preach darkness out. And if you are being taught well, love what you are being taught. If you don't love, if you are being taught well, and I say this by the grace and mercy of God, you are being taught well and you don't love what you are being taught, and you are not following what you are being taught, you are only telling yourself that you are something. You are telling yourself, you are already manifesting a kind of nature, and that's not good. So, Jesus will manifest himself. Now, let's go to the next verse, okay? Are we being blessed? So, Jesus answered, no, take me to verse 22, for the purpose of people following us. Judas Iscariot, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? Look at that. How can he manifest himself to the world? So, this world there are sinners. But you know, he loves the world, but he won't manifest himself to them. He loves the world, but he does not commit himself to them. That's why relationship differs when you have this judgment. You understand how to relate with men. It's not all men you commit yourself to. But oh, no man, nothing but what? Love everybody, but you can't commit yourself. You must know what is inside men. That's the whole purpose of the teaching on the anatomy of love. So, I will cut covenant with you, but not with the world, because the world does not know me. It doesn't know my ways. Now look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man what? He will do what? Keep my words. And my Father will love him. So this love is now different. Because if the one in verse 21, he says, the Father shall love. But this one, the Father love. So this one is potential. The Father shall love me. He has not started loving me. I'll look at it very well. Amen. I want to establish this. Take me back to verse 21. He that had my commandment and what? Keepeth them. It is he that what? And he that loveth me shall be loved by the Father. So, my Father's love is in view because you love me. So if you love me, my Father's love is where? In view or in sight. Shall. Can we say amen? Now, because you are keeping the commandment of Christ or the commandment of the Son, you have the privilege to be loved by the Father. Or to come into the mannerism of his love. Now, verse 23, now went further to say, if a man will love me, we keep my words. So it means this, my words, is not the same thing as my covenant, my commandments. Let me say that again. I want you to get something. You need to wait on scripture. It means my words and my commandments are not the same thing. So it means my commandments, they are the commandments of Christ. My words, they are the words of the Father. Let me say that again. It's not the same thing because one says, shall. The one says, the Father is loving me. So it means my words here is heavier. Now, this is now my Father's words. So Christ has his words. His Father also has what? His words. So commandments in verse 21 are the commandments of Christ. Words in verse 23 are the words of the Father. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Now take me to verse 23. I'm going back to verse 20. Take me to verse 24. I'm coming back to verse 23. Let me just buttress what I said. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but what? The Father's which sent me. So the words in verse 23 are the words of who? So Jesus is saying, I have my commandments. I also have my words. I have commandments that are for me. They are my own commandments. I kept them. But I also have my father's words. Huh? So this is very interesting. So Jesus is a man. Huh? He is an entity of dimensions of works. That's what Jesus says. You must be able to understand him in that manner. So his words there, my words there, are the words of the Father. So Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loveth me, he will keep my words. And my Father will what? Come on, say that. My Father will what? So the reason why my Father will love me is because he's keeping my Father's words. My Father is attracted to his things. So anybody that is keeping the Father's word, the Father is already loving the person. Anyone that keeps my commandments, the Father shall love him. But anybody that keeps my Father's words, my Father will what? Will love him. So one is futuristic. The other is ongoing. Can we all say amen? Are you sure you are saying amen?
Amen.
So he will keep my words and my Father will love him. And we. So that is the Father and the Son. You see, let me tell you this. Now, I want to now upgrade you a little bit more. So, verse 23 is the Son of God. Verse 21 is Christ. You see, this is where this is now the technicalities of this. Because Jesus is talking. Eh? One person is talking, but two dimensions are talking. Eh? He's talking from rest. So he's talking as Christ and he's talking as the Son of God. As Christ, he's talking that if you have my commandments, the Father shall love you. As the Son of God, he's saying that if you have my words, my Father is loving you. And we, so not just only the Father, but the Father and the Son. Who is the Son there? He's talking about the Son of God. This is the Son in the everlasting kingdom. Oh, do you agree with me? So you have Jesus. Jesus has a name. Eh? There's a name of the Holy Ghost that is Jesus. There's a name of Christ that is the Son. There's a name of the Son of God. Because that's why it says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Christ is a son. But there's also a higher sonship beyond a sonship of Christ. It's not just Christ. Christ is a son. In fact, Christ is the beginning of sonship. But Jesus is not just Christ. He's also the Son of God. The Son of the living God. You can be a son. Eh? Now, we can use this living God as a everlasting. Covers both living and true. Yes. So at times, living God is used like that. When the Bible says, you know, the church of the living God. So at times, they use living God or the seal of the living God. At times, they use living God as compound for both living and true. You see, when you now want to go into details that you now divide, you must be ready for division. Amen. If you want to break into details. So there's Christ, there's Son of God. So Christ is Son, is a Son, but it's the beginning of sonship. Can we say amen? Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So you can see Jesus speaking in his name as Christ, and Jesus speaking his name as Son of the living God. So inside, he has the name of Christ. He has the name of the living God. So when in verse 23, he's speaking as the Son of the living God. In verse 21, he's speaking as what? Christ. Same person, different dimension.
Yes, sir.
Well, nobody's saying amen.
Amen.
So when you are dealing with Jesus, you need sight. So one is everlasting. The other is Christ. Huh? So Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. So that's the Father's love. Huh? And what is the purpose of the Father's love? It's to make you a dwelling place. Oh, glory to God. I'm rounding up. What did I say is the purpose of the Father's love? He says, and we will want come unto him. We, that's the Father and the Son. Eh? And make our abode. I like everybody say, make. Oh, you are not excited. Why are you not excited? I am the only one that is excited. Glory to God. So, the Father's love is a making love. It's a love that makes you an abode. It means the manifestation of that love is that you will be built. Oh, glory to God. Nobody is saying amen. When the love of the Father is manifested, it is for you to be built so that you can be dwelt in. Now, take me back to John. 1 John chapter 3. So behold, what manner of love the Father had what? Bestowed upon us. So are you seeing the Father's love now? So what's the Father's love supposed to? How is he supposed to manifest? The Father's love is supposed to do what to you? Come on, it's supposed to do what to you? So the Father's love only manifests to people that have the name of the Son. Yes, as Christ. Yeah. Come on. That Christ, the Son of the... So you cannot know the Father's love if you don't know Christ, the name of Christ. The name of Christ is the foundation that the Father's love is bestowed on. I don't know if I'm getting it. By now, this should not be much for you to understand. The Father's love is bestowed upon those that have his name as Christ. Remember, John 14 verse 21. He that has my commandment is he that loves me. Amen. I'm laboring. I'm going back. Some of us are not too swift in getting understanding. You know why? You see, it's not too hard to be swift to connect. You have to labor. You labor in word and prayer. If you find this difficult to catch revelation, it means that you don't labor enough with the word and prayer. When you labor in word and prayer, they easily get you. So when we have to still say it and again, it means, you know, there's nothing much I can do. If you don't go back, listen to message, check the Bible, pray, study yourself. Eh? Can we say amen? So the Father's love is bestowed upon a soul that has the name of Christ or the commandment of Christ or the love of Christ. So when you have done the love of Christ, right, you have obligated the name of Christ, and you have the love of Christ, the Father's love is now bestowed upon. Can we say amen? Amen. So behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon, that we should be. So it means that the love has not run its full course. That we should be. So the love, when it runs its full course, what are you going to be? Come on, what are you going to be? So what are those sons of God? Those that are bearing the Father's name, or they have the Father's seal, or they are the Father's dwelling place. Because Jesus said, he that keeps my word, my Father will love him, and we will come and make. They are not just coming, they have to make. They will come and make. There is making before our abode. We will come and make. It's not that we will come and stay. There's nowhere to stay. They don't stay inside foundation. What you have is foundation. So they will now come and build house where? On the foundation. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I'm not hearing your amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Take me to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. I'll start from verse 1. Amen. Have we been blessed today? Glory to God. So look at that. At the same time, said the Lord, when you see the Lord there, he's talking about the everlasting God. Remember Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not heard? Have you not known the everlasting God, the Lord? Has thou not known? Has thou not heard the everlasting God? The Lord. So who is the Lord? So the everlasting God is not the eternal God in the sense of the eternal God is our refuge. Beneath him are the everlasting arms. So the everlasting God is the creator. He's the one that created the heavens and earth. So at the same time, the Lord, said the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel? This is not talking about physical Israel. This is Revelations 21. These are the 12 tribes of Israel in the spirit. I know that ceiling is also tribal. 144,000. They seal them in their tribes. So it means there are tribes that heavenly heaven knows. This church, maybe we're a tribe. Believe me. See the gate, maybe we're Benjamin or something. In the spirit, only them know what we are. Because when they even seal you, they seal you according to your tribes. Yes. So we have tribes in the spirit. Nobody is walking walk anyhow. The Bible says God says solitary into families. Well, sealing, so he says, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. All of them. It means there are many families. Yes, and they shall be what? So this is the everlasting covenant that makes God your God and you the people of God. Now look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace where? Even Israel. I like what they found grace in the wilderness. That grace is the grace you find when you are learning Christ. Because the wilderness is a type of the learning of Christ. What did I say the wilderness is? Look at that. So, thus saith the Lord, thou, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. So, you know that the wilderness is not the rest. The wilderness is the preparation to come and rest. What is rest? Dwelling place. So the purpose of the Father's love is what? Oh, you are not fasting. No. Rest. God needs a place of rest. So the Father's love is to build a house of what? Of rest. Is that clear? When I went to cause him to rest. So there's a grace you contact by learning Christ. You have capacity to receive the Father's love. The grace of Christ is the commitment you get from Christ that empowers you to yield to the Father's love. Normally, you can't yield to the Father's love except you go through the wilderness. That's why you need wilderness. The wilderness is good. Amen. It prepares you. Why do you think God? Do you think God is a wicked God? Why did God take them through the wilderness? If you go, God did not want them. See, because when you go to the promised land, you are going to fight giants. So wilderness is training to fight giants. You cannot fight, you cannot possess the promised land without displacing giants. You cannot come into divine nature without fighting evil spirits. In fact, when you have the Father's nature, it means you have overcome Satan. So you will fight Satan. Not his boys, Satan Gongo. You know those Chinese things? It's the boss you fight last. Big boss. You have seen. You know Bruce Lee film? All those big boys, they're just Ching Kong Kong. They are the last. They'll just be watching. They'll send their boys. They'll send one set. There are plenty. And when you build them, they'll not send another set. They'll send the holy place ones. Those ones are not as much as the other ones. So those outer conquerors, it's easy to kill them. You know all those. Then later, even the most solid, they are a smaller set, maybe like two. Those ones are always bad. And after you now beat them, then the boss will now begin to. So say Satan. No, you're not. Say Satan is the last boss. So there's nobody that will have the Father's nature that will not ward the dragon. Personally. So I'm saying this so that you have sense. Because some of us, you are not preparing to war the dragon. You will war the dragon. Go, dragon, go. Baba Drago. You will war the dragon, go. After you war the dragon, then you now sit. So the Father's love is, even ejects you warrior mentality. It's not a passive love. It has strength to equip you with wisdom to overcome the dragon. Now look at the last verse, the next verse, and we'll stop here. We'll stop in verse 4. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, I like the Lord. He's the everlasting God. Yea, I have what? With what? So the Father's love is also called what? We are now assuming. The Father's love is also called what? Love to last. Therefore, with what have I drawn? Drawn. What are they drawing? Verse 4. Again, I will build thee. Again, means you have been built before. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Who? O virgin. So who do they build with the Father's love? Virgins. Who are virgins? Sons of the sanctuary. Those that the world has been taking away from them. So the Father takes you serious when you are a virgin. Virginity in the soul is when the soul has been severed from the love of this world. That's the purpose of the love of Christ. Is to take away the love of this world. Then the Father, again I will build thee. Thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. So who do they want to build? A virgin. Huh? You now see why you have to learn Christ. Now, amen. Thou shalt again be adorned. So the Father's love is our what? An adorning love. It will build you, then it will adorn you. Just like in the feast of Esther, 6 months purification, 6 months adornment. Thou shalt be adorned with thy tabrets and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. That's everlasting joy and gladness shall be upon their forehead. So this is the way. So this is the manner of the Father's love. So behold the manner of, take me back. Behold what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should call sons of God. So those sons of God are those that have been built and they have been what? Adorned. Amen. Because there's no place. Can you think about God having a place to, can you live in a house that you have not adorned? Adornment means decoration. All of us have taste. The Father has taste also. So the Father's taste is his adornment. So the house that the Father will dwell, he will adorn it. It will not just be built, it will be adorned. It will have all kinds of beautiful things inside. So think of yourself as something, as a building that is being built, is being roofed, is being decorated. None of you can go and live in a house that's no roof inside. So the Father wants you to be roofed. Now he doesn't just want you to be roofed, he wants you to be decorated. You know, if you have money, you will buy all kind of your beddings, your settee, your kitchen. Your Father wants to have kitchen in you. Heavenly kitchen. Kitchen that the cabinet has not spoiled.
Yeah.
Kitchen that the tiles is well tired. Talking about souls. Kitchen where the pots are clean. is not a duport. You know what I'm talking about? They want a sitting room that has beautiful settings, tapestry, curtains, rooms that there is AC inside, that is coolele, fine curtains, fine house, neat house. That's the concept. If you want it, the Father wants much more. So adornment is the Father building you to taste. Building you to taste his own kind of taste. I can tell you, your Father is excellent. The way he even built the earth and heavens shows the kind of taste he has. If he can build, if the Father will build what he will not dwell in like that. Because heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Which house will you build for me? God is saying that I'm not dwelling in earth and heaven, but I built it is fine. So how much more the house I will dwell in. So God is going to perfect us. Yeah. Your amen is standing on one leg. Yeah. I said God is going to perfect us. Yeah. I said his love will beautify you. Yeah. Everything that is that offense, he will take away. Yeah. You now see why the manifestation of the Father's love is chastisements. Yeah. He will not allow one on one to remain in you. Because he wants to beautify you. Yeah. So that's why he will chastise. He will be lost. Because he wants you to be fine. And he will scourge every son that he will receive. So you now see the reason why the Father brings rod. You now see the reason why you go through suffering. Those suffering are what breaks all the bad things. You know, look at when you're doing renovation and you have to take away cupboards that are torn out. You know it's suffering. When you break away something, if that thing can talk, you have to chisel some things. You have to scrape. You know, at times when you want to paint, you scrape and paint. As you are scraping, imagine if that former paint can talk. Why not they come at me now? Leave me alone, Joe. That is what we do when we complain about dealing. God is not a wicked God. If whatever you go through is for your good, he's trying to make you a better person. For himself, not for yourself. You were built for his pleasure. And I think I'm thinking about it. God built you for himself. You have no right to think about any other thing apart from the picture of the person that created you. What, how he wants you to be should be what should be your desire. If you seek something else, it means Satan has given you another option. So this is your calling. To be the Father's house. And those that become the Father's house, they will have his Father's what? Seal. The Father's seal is his love seal. Seal of love. Come begin to thank the Lord.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.